Now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
So welcome in to White Sox Weekly. Got a big evening of White Sox conversation with you here on the show. We've got you for the next 2 hours all the way up until 8:40 tonight. 8:40 tonight. It's West Coast baseball. It's with the Pacific and Central. It's very confusing, but we have you for the next 2 hours, and boy, do we have news for White Sox fans. If you've been away from Twitter, if you have had the phone off until now, if you've been living under a rock this Saturday, and who can blame you? That's what Saturdays are for. It has been reported the White Sox will indeed sign top Cuban prospect Luis Robert. It is a big news. We get sounders and everything for it. It is exciting stuff, and we've got the lowdown on exactly how it happened, who did what, when it happened, how much everyone's paying for it. You're not paying anything for it. It's going to be one heck of a show. Here's the lineup as our first segment tonight is a little bit abbreviated so we can squeeze in a conversation with Baseball America's Ben Badler. Ben covers the international signing market better and more often than just about anybody out there. He didn't break the news. It was Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan of Fox Sports and of Yahoo Sports, respectively, who had that stuff first this afternoon. Everything sounded like it was coming down to the White Sox and the Cardinals as to who would get this young, talented, five-toolsy, top 50 prospect type guy. And it's pretty exciting that it sounds like, indeed, no word officially from the ball club yet, but every report out there says that Luis Robert is going to be in the White Sox system for the cool, low, low price of around $20 to $25 million or so. There are some ins and outs and a lot of what have yous as to how exactly this player is going to get into the system and what sorts of CBA type things, what sorts of constrictions there are on exactly how Luis Robert is going to be signed and what that'll cost the White Sox both now and in the future. And we'll work you through some of that to be sure. But for now, know this, that whatever you want to call it, the rebuild, the retool, the however it is, whatever you'd like to describe it as, however Rick Hahn would like to describe it as too, because he likes to use a couple of different words to do it. Same with the coaches and same with a lot of the front office. Kenny Williams the same way. Whatever this is has now been kind of kicked in the booty with a pair of steel-toed boots. This is a big-time addition to an already rich stable of prospects that has been enriched over the last, well, almost calendar year now, going back to last year's draft. I guess that would be technically 13 months since we're about a month away from the draft now. But ever since Nick Hostetler and crew brought in Zach Collins, brought in Zach Birdie, brought in Alec Hansen and the rest of that draft class, which is to be sure rounded out with some good talent in Jameson Fisher, Alex Call. I mean, the rest of the way down the line, there are some good players there. After the trades of Sale and the trades of Eaton, you've added some serious top 100 talent. And it looks like, we'll talk to Ben Badler about exactly where the good folks at Baseball America would slot in Luis Robert in the White Sox system, in the top 100 in Major League Baseball, and where Luis Robert, I keep on going back and forth between Luis Robert and Luis Robert. I suppose we can ask Ben about that. Nobody would know. If nobody knows, Ben knows. And I think, you know, listen to the names. I'll just go through some of the names. These are all talents that you've added that the White Sox have picked up and thrown into the system in the last 13 months. Yoan Moncada, the top prospect in all of baseball. Michael Kopech, who comes in around the 22-23 range. Lucas Giolito, right about the same thing. Ronaldo Lopez, a little bit lower than that, but right around that 30 mark, depending on who you talk to. Zach Collins, drafted last season. Alec Hansen, drafted last season. Zach Birdie, drafted last season. And Dane Dunning, who was picked up in the Adam Eaton deal. They already had Carson Fulmer. That is a top 10. And Luis Robert is going to kick off one of those guys from the list. That's the kind of talent he is purported to have. We're excited talking about it with you and want to know what you think about the White Sox signing such a premier young outfielder as it has been reported all day long that that's going to be the addition the White Sox will make. Sox fans, you can join us as we welcome back White Sox alum on homecoming weekend, Friday, May 26th to Sunday, May 28th, on the White Sox battle the Tigers. Homecoming Weekend is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Bring your business home to Bedford Park and win big. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com. We'll continue talking about the big news of the day, the reported acquisition of Luis Robert to the White Sox system. Ben Badler of Baseball America is going to join us right after the commercial break. We'll talk with James Fegan of The Athletic. He's out in Seattle and was talking to people in the organization out there and getting their reaction to it. We'll also talk with White Sox reliever Anthony Swarzak this afternoon. We'll also have a conversation with CSN Chicago's producer, Ryan McGuffey. CSN Chicago is doing a whole special starting Monday night on the White Sox system. So Sox fans get to meet just about every one of the top prospects in the system through their documentary. We'll talk to Guff about making it and about what you can expect to see on Monday night. I'm Connor McKnight. You've got White Sox Weekly, and we will be right back here on WLS AM 890.
John and Ray, now heard weekday mornings 6 till 10 a.m. on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back into White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we're joined by Ben Badler of Baseball America. He has been all over the international signing process for a while now, and the man who has been all over what the White Sox just did this afternoon. Ben, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate you hanging out.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
First, and probably the biggest question White Sox fans have right now is, how in the name of all that's holy are we pronouncing Luis Robert?
I've always heard it pronounced as Luis Robert.
Fair enough.
From, you know, people, including people in Cuba, everybody else I know. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I'm in Boston, and how how I pronounce words here, or other people here pronounce words a little different than people in Chicago or North Carolina pronounce words. So, but I've always heard as Luis Robert.
Well, then we will go with Luis Robert until, I guess, Luis tells us differently. Ben, tell me, how you've been over this for a couple of days now, and, well, really longer than that. How did the decision come down for Luis Robert to sign with the White Sox? You have been doing Robert for a while. How did it come down between the White Sox and Cardinals? What were the last couple of days like, as far as you know?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, it sounded like, you know, the teams that were in on Robert were most of the teams that were kind of already were already over their international bonus pools, mainly the Padres, the Astros, the Reds, the A's. I think at a certain point, it probably just got a little bit too rich for those clubs. I mean, all those teams were very aggressive on him. They're, you know, the Reds and the A's both sent their GM down to the Dominican Republic to see him in person at private workouts. But it sounded like most of what I was hearing the last couple of days was Cardinals, White Sox. You know, those teams were being very aggressive on him, and it sounded like it was down to those two teams. I mean, I don't know exactly what was being offered, but I would imagine it. It's probably pretty close. It sounds like the White Sox kind of separated themselves just at just at the end here today.
You wrote, we're talking with Ben Badler of Baseball America. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Badler. He's got the name for the handle, which means he's important. On May 18th, you wrote that the White Sox would be sacrificing more to get him. Obviously, with the changes in sacrificing more than other teams, I guess, with the changes in how we go about getting international products into the major leagues now, can you kind of describe what you meant by that and why, in your opinion, they chose to sacrifice more, like you wrote?
Right. So, yeah, like I was saying, it's the teams that were always going to be in the mix for Robert were the teams that had already gone over their international bonus pools and really had done so last year on July 2nd when the international signing period opened. Mm-hmm. A lot of other teams were already under a penalty for having previously gone over their bonus pool. So like the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, you know, they couldn't offer him more than $300,000 anyway. So they were out of the mix. Other teams are planning to be aggressive this year on July 2nd and sign 16-year-old kids out of the Dominican Republic and Venezuela for $1 million, $2 million, $4 million. So they couldn't sign Robert right now, unless they were going to, give up those commitments, which wasn't going to happen. So the White Sox were kind of the aberration of the group because they hadn't already gone over their bonus pool. So the teams that had already gone over, you know, they already knew that they were going to be going the next two signing periods without being able to sign any international amateur player for more than $300,000, whereas the White Sox weren't in that penalty range quite yet. So by going over, that actually triggers penalties. So they're now going to be in that same penalty box of not being able to sign anyone for more than $300,000 for 2 years once this signing period closes on June 15th. I think the White Sox looked at it as saying, look, this is we're clearly in a rebuild right now, and yeah, it is a big opportunity cost to be giving up to sign Luis Robert. But on the other hand, he's 19, he's turning 20 in August, and this is a guy who's going to help them at the major league level a lot faster. Even though he's probably like a low A to high A type player right now,
sure,
he's going to get there a lot faster than any 16-year-old kids that they might sign out of the Dominican Republic or Venezuela either this year or next year.
So obviously this changes the White Sox outlook and ability to outlay cash on an international level for the next 2 years, what with the penalties. But do you get the sense that, with the acquisition of Yoan Moncada, with going out on the market and bringing in Jose Abreu, do you get the sense that this acquisition of Luis Robert changes the international marketplace's opinion on the White Sox, since, over the last decade, 15 years or so, it has gone back and forth and been a little rocky?
I think it probably changes, if anything, more than anything. I think just the opinion of White Sox ownership. I mean, this is a team that has never gone over their international bonus pool. Nobody goes over their draft bonus pool in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think back to the previous system where you could spend basically whatever you wanted in the draft before the draft bonus pools were in place, but they had these kind of like recommended slot values from the commissioner's office. The White Sox never really were a team to go over those slot values. So that certainly jumped out to me that, the White Sox, international scouts with Marco Patti and then obviously Rick Hahn and Ken Williams must have made a very compelling case to ownership to get this deal done, because if it's $25 million, they're going to have to pay another $25 million in tax. That's a $50 million commitment.
Mm-hmm.
For a 19-year-old who's going to need probably a couple of years in the minor leagues. So the White Sox have definitely been more aggressive on the international market in the last couple of years. They've been giving out seven-figure bonuses to guys like Micker Adolfo, Josue Guerrero, Franklin Reyes, some other guys that they have in the system. So now they're gonna have to shift strategy a little bit and try to find some bargains and more under the radar or overlooked guys in Latin America for the next couple of years.
Ben Badler of Baseball America joining us here on White Sox Weekly. So what kind of player do they get in Luis Robert? What kind of – who does he comp to? I hate player comps. I hate asking you guys for player comps because they can be so dangerous. But the will of the people has spoken. They want their player comps. What does he look like? What does he possess? What does he need to work on? And I think you mentioned low A, high A-ish kind of start. I wonder what his horizon looks like to you.
Yeah, he's what stands out immediately. I'm sure you guys have all seen the videos of him, and he's just physical and very lean, athletic type body. I think that certainly jumps out the most, the physicality, the athleticism. He's got outstanding bat speed. He's got plus raw power. It's a pretty sound swing too from the right side of the plate. Mm-hmm. And he moves very well for his size too. I think the upside is a guy who, maybe can play center field and potentially be a middle of the order bat, which I'm sure is what the White Sox are looking at him, given the price tag on him. The risk is in. I've seen him since he was 16 years old, and to his credit, he's always been a very high level performer, whether it's against kids his own age at international tournaments. He was at an 1800 tournament. He was 16 years old the first time I saw him playing for a Cuban junior national team. He was leading the Cuban league in on base percentage and slugging when he left this year.
Mm.
Granted, the league has been very watered down by so many players leaving, but you can't overlook the performance. But I think probably the biggest risk that I've seen on him is just swing and miss tendencies, whether it's chasing high fastballs or expanding the strike zone sometimes. against breaking pitches. And the quality of the pitching that he's facing in Cuba is not very good. I mean, even in their top league, most guys there right now are probably throwing mid-80s type fastballs. So that's some risk. And then I think just it remains to be seen how his his body develops. I mean, he's very lean right now. When I saw him a couple of years ago, I thought, all right, this guy's just going to be a physical monster and put on, 20, 40 pounds on his frame and move to an outfield corner. But he's stayed pretty lean. I think he's gotten even faster since he's left Cuba. So I think there's some chance that he might be able to play center field. Probably depends on, who else the White Sox have, in center field or on the corners by the time he is ready, whether he plays center or moves to a corner. But I think he doesn't have a great arm, so it'd probably be left field if he does go to a corner. But, if he does go to left field, I certainly think he has the athleticism, the range to be an above-average defender over there too.
Where does he fit on your guys' ranking of the White Sox system as it stands now, and kind of place him in a top 100, I guess, prospect wise? I mean, obviously the Sox have added a ton in the prospect development system, like Mancata and Kopech, Giolito, Lopez, and they had Fulmer. That's probably a top five one way or another, depending on how you slice him. Where does Robert fit?
Yeah, I mean, we have Yoan Moncada as our number one prospect in baseball right now. So he'd be behind him. And I don't think he's as good as Moncada was coming out when Moncada initially signed with the Red Sox. Right now we have Ronaldo Lopez at 23, Michael Kopech at 24. He'd probably be somewhere, to me, I'd probably put him above those guys, but with the caveat that I'm probably, and I like Lopez and I like Kopech, but for me, I probably have those two guys a little bit lower just because I'm a little bit more risk averse on pitchers. But
sure,
I think this guy is certainly going to be, I would imagine, going to be in our top 50 prospects when we shake it all out. I mean, he's not going to be like a top 10 prospect like Moncada was from the time that he signed, but he's certainly going to be one of the better prospects in the game. You're going to see him on our top 100 list right away.
And those lists come out pretty quickly, right? I mean, that's you've got that coming out. The whole international signing period is going to be evaluated by Baseball America soon. And you guys have draft coverage throughout the year, but that's all getting hot and bothered right now.
Yeah. We'll have probably our midseason top 100 updates coming out right around the Futures game in July. Like you said, before that, previewing the international signing period leading up to July 2nd, which I guess for White Sox fans will probably be a little bit quieter this year than usual, because you're not going to see him sign anyone for more than $300,000. But
you can just can just listen to the podcast of this interview and everything will be fine. That'll take him right through.
Yeah, and it's it'll be interesting to see what if they make any other moves, because look, the signing period is still open until. The signing period is still open until June 15th. Yeah. So, hey, if they're willing to spend, $50 million, I don't know how much more they have in the tank that they're willing to spend going forward. But to me, the way I see it is it's certainly risky to go over your bonus pool for one player like Robert. And they did sign some other players last year on July 2nd,
right,
between Josue Guerrero, Anderson Comas, Luis Mieses, some other guys. So, but to me, there's some other interesting Cuban players out there. Certainly nobody to the level of Luis Robert, but it'll be interesting to see if maybe they sneak somebody else in before the period closes on June 15th.
Should be fun to watch. Ben, really appreciate you hopping on the show this evening. Have a great weekend, and love the coverage, man. Nobody does it like Baseball America.
Oh, thanks so much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
You got it. That is Ben Badler of Baseball America. He is one of the most knowledgeable sources about this kind of thing, the whole international signing, and specifically Cuban markets, and it was awesome to have him on the show tonight. Want to hear what you think. The White Sox have made a pretty emphatic statement, it seems, with the potential signing, the reported signing, the oncoming signing of Luis Robert, 19-year-old Cuban outfield prospect who will... Well, not sure exactly where he'll start. We'll have to wait to hear from the club as to where exactly Luis Robert will start his minor league career and what the potential horizon for him looks like. I want to go through some of the things that Ben was talking about here and maybe talk a bit about why Luis Robert is special in this free agent signing. Maybe the why now is such a special kind of thing in this whole picture. The Young Professionals Council is hosting its second annual Stand Up With The Sox comedy event on June 8th at Zanies in Old Town. Comedian Pat McGann is back to host the show, with all proceeds benefiting White Sox charities. Visit whitesox.com/soxcomedy to get your tickets today. Your chance to join the show when we come back. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. News is next. Your calls after that. I'm Connor. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. You can join us as the White Sox take on the Tigers Saturday, May 27th at 1:10 p.m. The first 20,000 fans will receive a White Sox photo book presented by CSN. Take a look back at the Sox in the 90s with images featuring all-time greats like Frank Thomas, Tim Raines, Bo Jackson, and more. Purchase your tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. We just had a conversation with Baseball America's Ben Badler. We talked about the potential signing, the reported signing of Luis Robert. It's really kind of the news of the afternoon. It is one of the trending topics on Twitter, and you have a chance to talk about it with us here on the show. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. That's 312-591-8900. I guess we'll start here. There had been, I guess, some conversations about how deep the White Sox want to take a rebuild process like this, how much a team that hasn't committed to a process like this in the recent past would really want to commit to it. In Luis Robert, you had a guy out there who's not only a premier prospect, a top 100 type guy, a guy who, you know, depending on who you talk to, we just talked with Ben Badler of Baseball America, and they've got him a top 50 guy for sure, likely a top 30-ish type piece, and probably the second or third best prospect in the White Sox organization. I guess that would kind of depend on when they put their list together and how well Michael Kopech is pitching by the time they put that list together. If you talk to other people like Jim Callis, who does a hell of a job for MLB.com, Baseball Prospectus has their own rankings, that kind of thing, he could be anywhere. Robert could be anywhere as high as a top 20 type prospect in all of baseball. I mean, this is impact kind of talent. And for it, it seems like the White Sox are going to pay impact type prices. That shouldn't surprise anybody. You look at the money that Yoan Moncada got from the Boston Red Sox, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much, but it's a lot of money. And the way the system works, in case you had kind of let it pass over you, or weren't all that concerned about it, considering it's going to be changing come June 15th. That's right, the new CBA kicks in, and that changes how much money essentially teams are allowed to allot to those international signing eligible kids, and exactly how you're able to sign all of them. Suffice it to say, this was really, over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, we've seen players like Yoenis Cespedes, Yasiel Puig, Jorge Soler, Aroldis Chapman really kind of got the ball rolling as far as expensive, high-priced, high-talent Cuban exports, or imports, I guess it would be, into the game of Major League Baseball. A lot of them have panned out. Some are superstars in this game. Some haven't. Some have been signed as older players where teams were kind of hoping to catch, you know, current horizon, catch their Major League eligibilities or capabilities right then and there and plug it into a team. Yuli Gurriel kind of fits that boat with the Houston Astros. Not to say that he's not playing all that well, but still, fitting in. Kind of a different MO there. But for Robert, for Luis Robert, guy that the White Sox have seemingly just signed, reportedly just signed, he's going to be the last of this crop, this group of Cuban players that are going to be signed for the money that they've all been signed for. After June 15th of this year, it changes. So for Robert to make this decision, and here's where we're headed on this, for him to make this decision on the very first day, May 20th, he's eligible to make it, is impressive to me. Dan Hayes, CSN Chicago, who does a great job covering the White Sox. He's out in Seattle, has something in his piece about how the White Sox had a presentation ready to go for him, featuring guys like Ricky Renteria, who's able to obviously speak Spanish and communicate with Luis Robert, who speaks, I'm guessing, mostly Spanish. Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, in this, you know, kind of video presentation to Robert is to pitch this team to him. He's not the first, obviously, Cuban talent that the White Sox have brought in, whether you want to look at Moncada himself, who agreeably was a trade. Jose Abreu, a free agent guy. Even go back to Alice Ramirez, Cuban guy coming out. I guess we forgot to mention that in the initial crop, too, though he wasn't probably as highly valued when he signed as some of the other guys we mentioned. Certainly turned out to be an impact player for the White Sox for quite some time. I think what has a lot of White Sox fans excited about Luis Robert is where he fits into the rest of the prospect window, for lack of a better term. There are a lot of kids, whether it be Zach Collins, whether it be Moncada himself, whether it be some of the other younger pitchers, Dane Dunning, Ronaldo Lopez, guys who are in this window of coming up in the next year or so, talking year of baseball, not necessarily calendar year, year of baseball, and making an impact, starting to develop, starting their major league developments. Now, we talked with Ben Badler, and it does seem that though, you know, he's 19, not Badler, Robert, and it's going to take a little bit of time for him to develop, and we'll have to wait to hear from the White Sox exactly where they'll start their newest acquisition in the minor leagues, or exactly when he'll start. You know, a lot of these guys coming over, and I believe Robert is one of them, haven't played all that competitive a baseball lately because the immigration process, I guess, is kind of a long and convoluted one, or at least has been in the past. I'm sure you're familiar with stories of Jose Abreu's trip over here and others, many, many other trips over here that have been somewhat harrowing and complicated and of legal issues. Yasiel Puig comes to mind. I mean, my goodness, there are a lot of stories involved. But once those players typically get here, there's not necessarily like a league for them to get into and play competitive baseball, whether it, you know, at any level. You know, they're not signed with a team. There aren't, you know, independent leagues that they can go play at. There aren't high schools that want to sign them on in a lot of cases, unless you come over, you know, exceptionally early, like at the age of 15 or 16, something like that. Maybe you're able to get in there then. But for Robert, it's kind of, there's going to be an assessment period, I would imagine, as to exactly where and when he fits and how quickly his horizon comes around. But to add a player like that, look, it's no mystery that the White Sox are deep in pitching prospects right now, that the main depth of this rebuild as it exists right now is in arms. And just because they're pitchers, there's some risk there. Any organization that's got to look at the Mets, right? Just a major league rotation that they've put together. They have had injury after injury to that rotation. They're pitchers. That's the risk in stockpiling all of those arms. To say nothing of the fact that figuring out whether or not you've got a guy who's going to make it to the big leagues and make it big is a difficult business in and of itself. You put arm on that starting pitcher, it's kind of tough to make that evaluation in the long-term pull. As the White Sox stock more bats or look for more bats, there really wasn't anything out there that made as much sense as diving into the Luis Robert sweepstakes made sense. Here's what it does from a practical standpoint. Here's what we know about what the White Sox have reportedly committed to. I don't have a number for you right now, but going off reports from Jeff Pass in Yahoo Sports, who's damn good at his job, Ken Rosenthal, who you don't need to know his credentials. He's the best in the business. It's going to be somewhere in that $20, $25 million range. Because the White Sox are going over their cap number, their allotted space, their international signing pool, you've got to pay 100% tax on it. So for whatever they sign him for, you'll have to pay that again as a tax. Same situation that the Boston Red Sox were in with Yoan Moncada when they signed him. They did make a trade today, the White Sox. They shipped Alex Katz, a reliever, to the Baltimore Orioles. In return, they got two international signing slots that all amount to about $750,000. So you can think of that as essentially a, I guess, a rebate on the Luis Robert signing. That money kind of comes off the initial layout. It allows them to have more pool space. They had about $1 million in pool space as it was. So that gives them a little bit more, which helps on the back end of the tax because it's not a, you know, one-for-one money. It's the tax is a lot. Still, though, it's a power move by the White Sox. It is. It's in case you were concerned about the commitment to this, this ought to assuage that concern. I think it's a wonderful addition for a White Sox system that has added a boatload of premier talent and fast. And they could do more. There is more potentially for them on the horizon. And we've been talking about that since Sox Fest back in January. We got a ball game to go to at some point tonight. The pregame show starts at 8:40, 9:10 first pitch. It'll be Mike Pelfrey on the bump for the White Sox and Giovanni Gallardo for the Mariners. We've got more White Sox conversation coming up on the other side. In fact, we'll talk with an actual White Sox player, Anthony Swarzak, who has been off to one heck of a start this season. Sure, he gave up the three-run shot to Mike Trout, but he's Mike Trout and you're not. But that's the only three runs he's given up all season long. Strikeouts have been ridiculous, and he is the subject, the latest subject of what I think Fangraphs put together was the next best arm in baseball that you haven't heard of quite yet. That's my headline, not theirs. They've probably got a better one. We'll talk with Anthony Swarzak on the other side of a quick break here. I'm Connor McKnight. You've got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
This is Gordon Deal. Join me weekday mornings 5 till 6 right before Big John and Ray on WLS AM 890.
So welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. We got a great show for you. I already talked with Ben Badler of Baseball America about the reported signing of Luis Robert by the White Sox. It could change. Who knows? Carlos is Yolmer now. There are no rules. MLB.TV Premium is back and better than ever. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live on over 400 supported devices. Plus, get a free subscription to At-Bat Premium, the number one app for live baseball. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details. We'll get you the lineup for this White Sox-Mariners game a little bit later this evening. After the 7:30 news, we'll talk with James Fegan of The Athletic. He is in Seattle and talking with folks about the news of the day, which is the reported signing of Luis Robert. But I, earlier in the week, had a chance to chat with White Sox reliever Anthony Swarzak, who's holding down the fort, along with Tommy Canley and David Robertson, while Zach Putnam, Jake Petrischka, and Nate Jones are all out with injury. Swarzak has been all things for the White Sox bullpen. He's been long man. He's been shutdown guy. He's been strikeout dude. He's been situational reliever. It's pretty impressive. And I just wanted to chat with him about what the role has been like to start the season and what being on a role like he's been on feels like too. So, Anthony, let's start with this. The bullpen the White Sox have run out there over the first month and a half of the season has been by and large lights out. You've been a huge part of that. I wonder at what point in spring training when you stepped into the White Sox organization, did you think that you guys had that kind of ability, that kind of run to get out there and do this thing?
I'd say day one, honestly. I mean, everybody's kind of there for a reason, you know, and we got a lot of power arms in spring training and saw it every day, day in and day out. You know, somebody was throwing the ball at some point, and you had to just watch. You know, we got some impressive arms in this organization, and everything's kind of clicking right now for us.
What is it? What's been for you kind of the biggest shift? I mean, obviously, you give one up to Mike Trout. That happens. You're going to have that. The run up to then, and then after that, that's all what you've been doing. Mixing in a slider more, the fastball velo's up. Is it any one thing that's necessarily clicked for you in this role with the Sox?
I can't necessarily say it's one thing as much as it's just a accumulation of things happening at one time, if that makes sense. You know, it's just,
sure.
You know, everything's kind of just falling into place for me right now. I'm, you know, some greatest shape in my life, you know, feeling good. I'm a little older now, a little more experienced. I'll have a little bit more history with every hitter that I'm kind of facing. And, yeah, I'm throwing more sliders too. So I think everything's just kind of working for me.
Is there a difficulty and not necessarily like not something that couldn't have been overcome, but, or hasn't been already, obviously, but in working
the role that you've been working. Sometimes it's one batter. Sometimes it's an inning and a third. Sometimes it's two or three innings. And it seems like, you know, Ricky and Coop have you in that role because you're so valuable doing all of those different things. What's the difficulty in doing that?
It's the same thing that is difficult pitching at any time. It's just consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people do it better than others, but you just got to stay ready, stay prepared, and everything else will take care of itself. You know, you tend to have the worst outings when you're not really prepared. You kind of get caught off guard in the bullpen really. So you want to just make sure you're ready from the first inning on, and when that phone rings, go out there and give them your best.
Is that why guys will tell you, or maybe former bullpen guys will look at you who've been out of the game and now do the commentary thing, that defined roles in a bullpen are necessary? Or do you think that maybe we're getting to a point where, you know, being ready on a daily basis, if you've had the role like you've had, is more commonplace?
I think that having a defined role in the bullpen is crucial when you're talking about the late innings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eighth or ninth inning, something like that. Premier lefty setup guy. I think those
sure.
are all roles that need to be defined. But I also feel like there's just more value put on those guys that are in the middle of the bullpen now more than ever before. And I think that's what we're seeing now in baseball.
When you're in a situation like the Sox bullpen is in, with a guy like Nate Jones going down and Putnam and Patricia all early on, what's the conversation like as a group? As you see injuries kind of hit you some, but know that you're in, you can put your team in a chance to win ball games.
Yeah, I mean, we had some early injuries. You know, we had three guys pretty good for the White Sox the last few years go down in a hurry. So, you know, luckily I was right there to get a little extended look and get a little more opportunity than maybe I would have had if that wasn't the case. And I tried to do my best with it.
What is, with injuries to veterans comes rookies, young kids into the bullpen, and I know that there are some time-honored traditions with giving those rookies, well, a rough time, I suppose. Who's been the most fun to have fun with so far?
You know what? We don't really pick on any rookies or treat any rookies like rookies.
Okay, all right.
You know, that's not that. No, it's really not our style, man. We can't do that because, you know, those rookies are going to have to pitch for us, and it's. One of those situations where we kind of have talked about, we want everybody to feel as comfortable as possible here and make it just as tight group as possible, because that's going to make the game easier. You know, and the hardest thing to do at the major league level is to slow the game down and to actually relax during the game. And anything we can do to help those rookies with that is what we're going to do. And right now we think it's just by making them feel comfortable and accepted, and everybody's having a good time.
That's an impressive outlook on things, because a lot of teams will, you know, they'll say that and then have like the pink backpack or the Dora the Explorer thing that guys will have to drag out there or whatever it happens to be. But I mean, that's, you really have, and I guess Ricky's done this too. Gregory Infante comes up and pitches two straight days as soon as he's with the ball club. I mean, that's the kind of reliance you've had on those younger kids.
No, absolutely. And he's done a really good job. The guy's got a power arm, and you know, he's a little bit older than people think he is.
Sure.
So he's got some experience, and I think he's going to do good things for us.
Anthony, really appreciate you hanging out with us here on the show. Congratulations on the hot start, and keep it up.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for the support, guys.
You got it, man.
That is Anthony Swarzak, White Sox reliever who went 19 and two-thirds before he allowed a run, only three so far this season. And really, you know, as we kind of shift gears back to the Major League Ball Club after kind of focusing on Luis Robert and the reported signing that the White Sox are going to make with him, I, you know, over the last couple of games, there have been some losses. The West Coast wasn't any fun, or hasn't been any fun, for the White Sox so far. Last night was a blast, though. Came back with one run in the 10th and won that ball game, so that was pretty good. And about as well as Jose Quintana has pitched all season long. No, that's it's as well as Jose Quintana has pitched all season long. He was absolutely masterful. 8 innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 run. If you missed the postgame show last night, we found out that was the first time the White Sox have allowed just one hit, and that hit was a triple. So that's kind of interesting. And it was also the first time that the White Sox had allowed just one hit in a game that had gone extras. Just kind of Jose Quintana's lot in life, that run comes in to score on a sac fly, and he gets saddled with a no decision. Important part is the White Sox got the win. And that bullpen last night had David Robertson come out for two clean innings. But up until that run, you know, I mean, it had been Tommy Kahnle and it had been Anthony Swarzak. And even before that, Nate Jones got his head screwed on after walking a couple early. And he, you know, he was actually in a really good spot after a couple of those walks. I remember talking with him in the dugout and just really feeling good about where things were at with his fastball command and kind of feeling a slider some. Robertson has been good. That bullpen has kept them in a lot of games. And as well as Jose Quintana has pitched over the last two, three starts, they've needed some help from that back end to fill things out. We have the break coming up, news at 7:30, and just after that, we'll talk with James Feegan of The Athletic. He is in Seattle and has the latest on the White Sox. And yeah, probably we'll talk a little bit more about the White Sox signing Luis Robert. That's all next. You've got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.